Judges chapter number 6, we'll start reading in verse number 33. The Bible says, "Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon." Isn't that something? I've heard so many people say that the Spirit of God didn't move on people in the Old Testament. I've only got one thing to say about that. They ain't read the Old Testament. They ain't read the Old Testament. They ain't read nothing about David. They ain't read nothing about Samson. I'm saying the Spirit of God moved. Amen. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Amen. Amen. God does what He wants to. He said, "But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezra was gathered after him. And he sent his messengers throughout all Manasseh, and also, who also was gathered after him, and he sent messengers unto Asher, and to Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, 'If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said.' And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together, and wringing the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, 'Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece and upon all the ground. Let there be dew.' But God, and God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground." Father, I pray you'd help me. God, I need your touch. I need your wisdom. I pray, God, that you'd bring back to my mind, God, things that you've shown me in this text. And God, glorify yourself, I pray, in all of this. Help this church. God, I'm thankful for these folks. And I'm thankful, God, that, Lord, of the things we were talking about a while ago, there's so many churches and so full of so many people. God won't even speak to each other. Won't have nothing to do with each other. God, how I pray that that never settles in on this church. God, I pray if it ever gets to the place where somebody in this church, God, gets to the place where they feel like they're better than somebody else, I pray the Holy Ghost of God will smite their heart. God, use us, I pray, and ask you for it. In Jesus' name I ask, amen and amen. Psalms chapter 102, the only text in the Bible, the psalmist said, "Lord, hear my prayer." But I want to preach on this thought about Gideon tonight. Lord, hear my fleece. You see, he wasn't praying for a fleece. No, he's putting a fleece out for God to answer. And this thing was a sure enough sign that he could use, that he could be confident in. And we're going to look at some things about his fleece tonight that Gideon is using. Not because God's made him get to a place where he's just questioning God, or the things that we're going to bring out is things that we'll see that can apply to my life and to your life. And whether you'll agree with us tonight or not, there's times you put out a fleece. You might not put out a piece of wool, and you might not tell the Lord, "God, if that's what you want me to do, let that wool get soaking wet with the dew of the morning, and I'll wake up in the morning and wring out a barrel full of water." But somehow or another, we do put out fleeces for God. And so tonight, as we look at this, I want to notice this here. As Gideon prays his faith, he's praying and he's asking God for his faith to be turned into a much-needed sight. I appreciate God giving us grace and giving us the faith that we have and trust in Him. But I'm going to be honest with you, and I believe I'd appreciate a good amen from you right here, that sometimes my faith ain't near as strong as what I'd like for it to be. There's sometimes I'd like my faith to be stronger than what it is. I'd like it to be so strong that, not for pride's sake, but if you needed some help, you could come to me and say, Brother Edward, do you think I'm going to be all right here? Will this be okay? Is God going to take... And, you know, I'd like to have enough faith, James, that I'd say, we're going to go to Africa, and there ain't nothing going to happen except people get saved. Now, that's my intent. That's the desire of my heart. Last year, that's exactly what happened. And I'm praying it happens again this year. Amen. We see that Gideon's putting forth a fleece. He's literally, in his prayer, he's putting forth a fleece, just to see if he is indeed called of God. God, are you sure you wanted me? I mean, this fleece has multiple applications. It's not just to see whether it'll get wet or whether it'll stay dry, but this fleece is laid out there for Gideon to get some understanding about the direction that God's laid on him. We all need direction. I have to have direction in my life. That's why we pray. That's why we read our Bible. That's why we get up. That's why we get up early. If you get up early, or you stay up late at night, if you stay up late at night, to have time with the Lord, to spend some time together with Him. Is that right? Lord, I got a new day ahead of me now. Me and my wife, I guess it works out good for us. We're on different shifts. I get up early, she stays up late. I can talk to the Lord in the morning while there ain't nobody there to talk to me. And she can talk to the Lord at night while there ain't nobody there to talk to her. Amen. And so we got the house covered, don't we? Amen. Amen. And if for some reason that we do get on the same track, which hardly ever happens, we'll just put a Bible up under our pillow and say, God bless you. Amen. And so tonight I want to look at some things about this fleece that Gideon put out there that might help me and you. Number one, he asked something that was unnecessary. And he said, he really needed to know. No, he already knew. He said in verse number 37, he said, Behold, I will put a fleece of the wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel. God's given him a job over here. And back in chapter 6 and verse number 14, the Bible says, And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Now, I don't know what you know about the Midianites, but let me explain something to you about them. The Midianites come from the Ishmaelites. And the Ishmaelites has always been an enemy of the people of God. Ishmaelites never have been fond of them when they started out as a young boy. Ishmael despised his brother. He was jealous of Isaac. He despised him. I believe he tormented him like any older brother would do. I believe he done everything that he could whenever he was away from mom and dad just to be a tormentor. Kind of like the way Brother Joe Chancey does me. But we see this right here, and we see how that he prays and he asks God to do something, but he already knew what the answer was. You know, we do that all the time. God, would you want me to do this? God, would you have me go there? God, would you want me to be a part of that ministry? Well, if you're uncertain, just do it. Just do it and see if God convicts you about it. Amen. Amen. It ain't hard. You know what? You know what you can do? I've seen this so many times. I'm just going to ask a question and just all I want is a yes or no answer. Brother Darnell, have you ever testified and knew God wasn't in it?
Yes.
Colton, have you ever testified and knew God wasn't on it? Jeremy, have you ever testified and knew that God wasn't in the middle of that? Brother Jeff, have you? Brother Dan? Brother Mike, have you? You just saying words, you was beating the wind, so to speak. You know what you do at a time like that? You know that the Lord ain't it. Just say, you know what? I just want to thank the Lord for saving me. God bless you, church. I love you. Sit down. And just sit down. I've seen folk get up and testify, and you could have baked a three-layer cake the whole time they testified. Wasn't saying nothing. Wasn't tormenting folk. I mean, I ain't saying it was here. I'm just saying. I'm just saying that sometimes we know what to do. It's hard to do it.
Amen.
We don't have to have a... I ain't got to put a fleece out when God the Holy Ghost says sit down.
Amen.
Amen. Some folks just won't say something. They just want me heard.
Right.
Why? Go home and record yourself on a cassette tape and listen to that and see how tremendous it sounds. Anybody ever done that? I have. I remember when I first took the church, Brother Daniel, I'd come back in here, man, I was studying, I was here every morning at 7:30, man, I was in here studying, Brother Jeff, I was right by myself, nobody here all day long, and I'd listen to tapes, I said, shoot, man, I ain't got to listen to that guy, I'll make my own tapes. I recorded me just a little segment of some Bible reading, I played that up, and I said, God have mercy, they won't nobody ever come to this church, they won't nobody ever come. Yeah, you've done it too. You too red. You've done it. I'm saying Gideon knew already what to do. It was unnecessary. We know what to do. We know what to do. Now you get somebody real super spiritual, and when they get in front of people, they're gonna witness their socks off. I mean, they just ain't gonna let them leave. They gonna bind them hand foot and make them sit there and listen to them preach to them. I told somebody this one time. They said, "How come I'm trying to get somebody to come to church? I'm trying to get somebody to come to church. They just wouldn't come to church. I probably know why. You preaching to them? Now you ain't a preacher." And they don't come hear me. I'm a preacher. And all you do is just making them mad. And you ain't got no grace. Probably ain't got no coot. I'm trying to be kind. Better help me, Brother Darnell. I'm just saying, there's just some things that is unnecessary. If we'll just patiently wait on the Holy Ghost. I don't come up, but please don't come up to me tonight after church. Say, "Well, what about that guy on this side? You say he's atheist. You, what if he went to hell? He ain't gone to hell yet."
Yeah.
How old was you? You got saved.
48.
Well, God sent somebody by, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Are you getting the point?
Yeah.
Are you getting the point? Listen, I'm not a Calvinist. I promise you that. I believe whosoever, listen to me, I believe whosoever is called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
But I also believe that God will give you a chance. You ain't going to go, listen, there ain't nobody going to go to hell and say, "God didn't give me a chance." Nobody. It was unnecessary. It was unnecessary, this police. Not only was it unnecessary, but the way he did it, he done it very reverently. Wow. How do you do something as far as putting a fleece out with reverence? That's something kind of missing, ain't it? I say things to these kids around here all the time. They'll say such things. You say, "You know, yes or something." Yeah. Yeah, what? I'm just trying to teach them how to have little manners. Just trying to teach. Don't get mad at me if it's your kids. Don't get mad at me, please. I'm just trying to teach them like our parents taught us. Because that's a dying thing. It's dying out. It's dying out. It's dying out. One more generation away from never hearing a yes, ma'am, and no, sir again.
Amen.
I'm telling you, it's a dying. But Gideon goes to God with reverence. And I'm not saying that you don't treat me like you treat the Lord. Please don't understand. Don't think that. I'm just saying that whenever we talk to God, are you listening to me? Y'all quit talking and better listen to me. Come to the front row. When we talk to God, you better show Him honor and respect. I mean honor and respect. Here's what He said. Let's read how He said it. And I believe we can add something. This ain't in the Bible. And I'm not trying to add something. I'm just trying to put myself in Gideon's place Have you ever talked to somebody before that you was a little bit scared? Let me rephrase that. Because only three people. Have you ever talked to anybody before that you was afraid they was going to kill you? Oh, yeah. Oh, that changed it all right there, Brother Charles, didn't it? Oh, everybody's like, oh, you mean like that? Yes. I know what you're talking about now. Yeah, you looking down the barrel of a gun, you'll talk different. You won't be Mr. Bad Boy. Hey, you won't be Miss Tough Lady. I tell you right now, that husband of mine, if he ever crosses paths with me, I'll knock his eyes out. And just try it one time. See how it works. I mean, you never know if you don't try. I had a guy one time tell me, I preached a message, and he got mad about something I said. This is God's truth. This is truth. This ain't preach talk right here. This is truth. He got mad about something I said. And he told me, he said, you ever say something like that again? He said, going to be me and you out back. I said, hey. I said, you don't know till you try. Here we are. I can't help it. I just got in flesh right quick. I can feel my flesh getting kind of heckled right now. You ever get, you just mentioned, I think the hair standing up on the back of my neck. Dear God, I better get back. Don't even look at me, boy. He asked reverently. Here's what he said. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me. You know what he's doing? He's begging for mercy. He said this. He said, Lord, please don't be mad. Please don't be mad. You say, why in the world is he asking then twice? Well, if me and you was to examine this text, we'd say it like this, Brother Daniel. We'd say Gideon had no faith. Yeah. Or somebody might come along and say, Gideon just wanted to be sure. In our home, we have a problem with humidity. Anybody else? Well, you're in South Georgia. You might as well say amen right there. Humidity. So we buy these little bags. You get them at Bed Bath and Beyond. Yeah. And you can hang them in the closet, and that thing, it'll just draw all the water, all the moisture out of the air. Now, for the past few days, they've been doing it all on their own. My wife likes to run the air conditioning and the ceiling fans to keep the humidity out. Yep. Whole time she's gone, humidity's been at 60% in my house. She come home, she said, the electricity working? I said, it's on. She said, cut that air on. And I woke up this morning after the air running all night long and the fans running and the humidity was at 64%. I ain't going there, okay? I'm just going to say when it gets cool, I'm opening my bedroom window and cutting the air off. That's my side of the room over there. I can't do nothing about that other side, but that side's my side. You know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12? He said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Gideon was looking for something. Wool had the capacity. Wool just naturally draws moisture. And Gideon's just being real sure that this wasn't just one of them things that happened. That's just being extra cautious, ain't it? I've met young boys before says, I believe God's called me to preach. And I've heard them tell their friends. And you mentioned to them about preaching. I said, no, I'm not ready yet. They said, matter of fact, preacher, if you don't mind, I'd like to talk to you about that. I just want to know some things about it. Preacher told me one time, I said, how do you know God's called you to preach? He said, I'll tell you this. He said, if you can get out of it, don't do it. Just don't do it. You can get out of it, just don't do it. Though that would have helped a lot. Mama called boys right there. Mama called him Daddy Stint. Ain't that what they call him? I'm talking about he was very reverent. He said, Lord, please don't be mad. He said, let not thine anger be hot against me. I want you to notice, he was impartial. He was impartial. He asked impartially. He asked to let the dew wet the wool. And then he asked to let the wool stay dry. He wanted to weigh it out both ways. I'm just trying to tell you tonight. Are you listening? Are you listening? Biblically, don't listen. Hey, quit playing with your telephone. Listen to me. You better be willing to pray either way. I've never seen it. I've never seen it be on this fashion. A young man getting looking for a girl, a younger lady getting looking for a guy, and they'll put some kind of sign. God, if that's the man, let this happen. Why don't you just pray, Lord, if that's the one you want me to marry, let him be dumb. I mean, you can marry every guy in the world. Lord, if that's the girl you want me to marry, let her be pretty. Well, there you go. Take your pick from about 4 billion. Huh? I'm saying Gideon was extra cautious. Huh? He wasn't just putting one stipulation out there. I've got all ideas, Brother Mike. He was trembling, scared. Because God had told him. The angel of the Lord had told him. He said, you're going to save Israel. I would, Brother Danny, that there were some preachers that cared about the church. Israel's a type of church. And I wish there were some preachers that cared about a church with that kind of a heartfelt burden. I mean, that much intent that they say, oh, God, please, Lord. You know what? You know what scares me all the time? This scares me all the time. This scares me, Brother Darnell. Am I going to do right? I've heard everybody say, well, hey, if I just finish right, that's all I'm after. Hey, I want to finish right, but I want to do right all the way there. I mean, all the way there. And I promise you, if you don't think there's battles going on up here, is this right? Should I be doing this here? Do we really need to? I mean, just one after another, after another, after another. And my prayer on my knees is, dear God, I don't know nothing. Please help me. So for Gideon to ask about a fleece, I ain't casting no stones at him. I ain't casting no stones at him. I'm saying he's just impartial. He wanted to wait out all the way around. Then last, don't you notice this? The fleece that he looked for, Lord, hear my fleece. He asked successfully. He got what he asked for. God gave him a sign. And that don't mean that every time you put a fleece out that you're going to get what you're asking for. But if you do get what you're asking for, it shows us that God's response to those people whose faith is not very strong is there to strengthen us. That's what it's for. I mean, it's just not, listen. We're living in a world where everybody's got their hands out. Gimme, 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 gimme. What's for dinner tomorrow? I like what my wife does. I'll call home, Brother Aubrey, sometime. I say, what you cook for supper tonight? She said, She sounds like Dean McNeese. She I'm not cooking nothing tonight. kind of eat your own tonight. She said, I got tuna fish in a can. And then, I think I'm going to go by the restaurant myself. You know what I mean? I want to see you eat that hamburger. Do you remember that night? What's that? What? John tried to drink that gallon of milk at y'all's house. Do you remember that? What was that boy's name that come running in the house? A friend of Justin's. Who? Stephen. Oh, my word. Was you there when he come running in the house? Was that not a Kodak moment? Sister Julie, Caleb's brother, John. Let somebody tell him, you can't drink a gallon of milk, or you can't tell John he can't do nothing. So somebody got a gallon of milk. This ain't got nothing to do with milk. I'm just telling you a story. Okay? Make you smile a little bit. I see some of y'all need to smile. You still mad about something I said a while ago. That boy tried. You think you can drink a gallon of milk? I'm willing to see this happen. I'm just talking about buying the milk. There ain't no get bets up here. Please don't. It's fine. John thought he could too. And the truth is, your stomach ain't that big. Help him, Sister Carol. Favor. Well, his might be. And Stephen, I mean, you get to a point where the stomach says, no more. Yeah. Enough's enough, right? Stephen come running the house like aliens was out there. You'd have had to see this guy's face, I'm telling you. I wish somebody took a picture of that boy's like. Now, back to Gideon. His request was successful. You thought I forgot where I was at. You didn't care, did you? It was successful. God blessed him. He gave him what he asked for. And he'll give you what you asked for. If what you're asking for is for his glory. Because you see, this whole request, this whole desire, this whole prayer is in question over a battle that's fixing to take place. God gave him the job to do, and he just wants to make sure, it's me, Lord. It's me. I told Brother Danny Sunday morning, we started to leave church, I said, I'm not sure about tonight, but I feel like maybe that you might better be ready to preach. I wasn't sure. And I said, Lord, change my heart. He said, preacher, you ain't got to say a word. I love that guy. You know how many people, you tell them to be ready to preach, say, you know what, Lord, change my heart again. And they don't get to, you know what they get? Mad. Quit. Man, I'm so glad that he did. And I'm telling you, God was all over him. That wasn't a blessing. That was a blessing. Listen, I'm saying tonight, I'm saying that God will use you for whatever he wants to use you for. I guess long story short, too late for that. Gideon's wanting to be in the perfect will of God. Not in that good will. Not in that acceptable will. But that perfect will of God. He just wants to make sure. And in chapter 7, I mean, after all of that, you're right where I want you. God's tuning Gideon up. He's getting him, Brother Darnell, where he's ready to submit and commit and give God himself wholly. And the next chapter, Gideon's trying to recruit him an army, and God said, no, you don't know how to do that part. He said, what you need is some real strong men that knows how to kill a bear and drink water like lapping a dog, like a dog lapping water, like lapping a dog. And that was the ones that God used. It's always that, what you never think God would use, that he uses and gets the victory. So how do you know that? Right here. Somebody would have told me years ago. We talked about this one day at school. One day, says, y'all been coming. Artie Hunt told me, a boy we went to school with. He said, Edward, one day you'll pastor a church. I said, not me. God opened up so many doors for me. He saved me at a young age. Or he says, hey, he says, Edward, one day you'll pastor a church. I said, no, not me. And then, after we got out of high school, my dad went to Bible school. And I could have went to Bible school for free because he was enrolled there. That's how they operated in. Out of PVI. I could have went for free. Literally. God bear me witness in the Holy Ghost. I'm sitting in the aisleway the night that they sign up papers for everybody. What do you call that? Signing up papers for everybody. And I'm sitting in the aisleway, and the teacher of the school, Dr. Rutland, he's up there. He said, everybody got the papers? Everybody signed up? Everybody in? Everybody signed up? He said, what about you? He's pointing me one. He said, you, right there, you in the aisle in the white shirt, you. I said, me? I said, oh no, I'm with him. Tell me God didn't give me chances. After chance, after chance, after chance. When I surrendered to preach, my pastor told me this. I tell you, young preach was this here. He said, my pastor told me this. He said, I guess you'd be looking for a place to preach. I said, yeah, I'd be a blessing. He said, well, go find you one. God put me here. That's exactly what he said. That's what he said. I promise you, you preach here a whole lot more than I did when I was at that age. He said, go find you a place. He said, get out there on the street corner. He said, go to the nursing home or go to the jailhouse. I tried all three. Jailhouse last. That's what I stayed. My kind of people. Thieves, liars. Boy, how many have we seen get saved down there, Faith? Good night. Every Thursday night, boy, you see, I come home just bubbling with them. God save the sinners. What a blessing. Weeping their way to glory. Sonny Talbert walked through this aisleway one night. He said, Brother Edward, my dad was still pastor. He's gone home. He was going to a revival meeting. He said, Brother Edward, one day you'll pastor this church. I said, no, sir. Not interested. I said, I like them old boys down at the jailhouse. He said, yeah, but God will change your heart. And boy, did he ever. And you know what? Right now, I feel like I'm in the perfect will of God. I love pastoring. I love the church. I love the sheep. I'm just saying there ain't nothing wrong with being extra cautious. Because we all made mistakes. And in the mistakes, we wished now we'd have been a little bit more cautious. Amen? Amen. Gideon done well, didn't he? Huh? No, I'm trying to think of the title of my message. You trying to quote me a verse. Something about the fleece. Yeah, thank you. Amen. That's my help me right there, Brother Larry. Amen. Lord, hear my fleece. Let's all stand together.